Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Wake up to a delicious morning with your favorite McDonald's breakfast sandwiches, now just $2, only in the app. Choose from a bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit, sausage McMuffin, or bacon, egg, and cheese McGriddles, just $2, only in the app. That's a deal as irresistible as the sandwiches themselves. Plus, you'll save time by ordering ahead in the app. Offer valid one time per day from July 29th through September 1st at participating McDonald's. Must opt into rewards.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/pod.
Welcome to Eye on the Illini. This is Illini guy Mike Kegley. We got a little treat for you today. We're going to give you some thoughts of some of the Illini big men. We've got interviews from the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular. That's our two-hour weekly radio show that you can find by going to IlliniGuys.com, hitting the radio button, and then you'll see a list of all the stations across the state. Find one closest to you, and then see which day of the week, either Friday or Saturday, that the show's on. It's a two-hour extravaganza. You can check the time, and you can go ahead and tune it in. But we got interviews with Deion Thomas and Marcus Griffin here. And one, Deion is from the 20th of January, that weekend edition, and Marcus is from the 27th of January. And we thought it'd be kind of fun to hear what some of the big guys have to say about what's going on in Illini sports. And of course, IlliniGuys.com is what powers the Sports Spectacular and Eye on the Illini. So feel free to go ahead to IlliniGuys.com and sign up. It's free 7 days. We don't get billed till the seventh day. Gives you an opportunity to kick the tires. And really, when you do that, you'll get all the articles, all the podcasts, everything. But the best part, too, is you go back into the forums or the message boards, and you can read what Brad and Matt and Ked and Larry and myself have to say. And you can communicate back and forth with other Illini fans and us. It's a little bit more interactive than just reading a newspaper and putting it down. If you have questions, you can ask about them. And I think it's something that really adds to the experience. So please feel free to take a listen to these two interviews with Deion Thomas and Marcus Griffin. And if you enjoy what you hear, hit like on the Eye on the Illini. Start listening to the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular and sign up for IlliniGuys.com. We'd love to have you. Thank you so much.
Welcome back to the Sports Spectacular. This segment brought to you by OSF Healthcare. He is, and I think will remain, I think forever, the all-time leading scorer of Illinois basketball. Deion Thomas is joining us now. You know, Deion, when you and I, we talk all the time, but when you were on the show last year, we thought Kofi was maybe going to stay and would, you know, you were okay with him wiping your name off the top of the list right now. But the way college basketball is right now, I don't know that we'll have a player stay 4 years to challenge your record.
And I would agree with you 100%. I mean, the way college basketball is, I mean, you may not have a kid stay at your university for the following year, let alone 4 years.
Right.
You know, with the way the transfer portal and all of this new stuff with NIL is going on, I mean, players are going to be moving and jumping ship all the time. And you know, I'm happy for the guys to be able to have some freedom, which I know the NCAA is going to change that transfer portal rule. But to be able to have some freedom of movement and of course, you know, being able to earn off of their name, image and likeness, I think is a great thing. But man, you're right. I was hoping to be able to make the Eddie Johnson phone call. And for the listeners that don't know what that is, the night I broke Eddie Johnson's record, he called me and congratulated me on doing so. And I was hoping to be able to make that call. But man, the state of college basketball now, either we're going to have a huge or a big time score that's going to average close to 30 a game, or, you know, that thing will be there for a while, man.
And we don't mind, because you're such a great ambassador, not just for the game, but also, of course, for Illinois basketball, for Chicago as well. All the things you do, you're legendary, and we respect you in every way. Hey, let's talk obviously a little Illini basketball right now, and catching up here before the Indiana game. Again, you and I have a conversation ongoing, some concerns about this team in December, but they have really turned it around, and in my mind, this is the team that we thought we would see earlier in the season at some point. And we thought we saw some glimpses in Las Vegas, and then things changed. Mm-hmm. What has been the difference for this team? And you've got as good a seat as anybody right there as the color man on radio for the Illini broadcast.
Well, I'll tell you this. This is one of the most talented teams and probably the most skilled team that we've had since 89. I mean, you have guys that can play all over the court. You have length at basically every position. You have a skilled inside player that has the ability to be able to put the ball on the floor, get to the basket. So the skill level on this team is extremely high. What we saw at the beginning is all of those things on display. But what we saw was five-man switching, five-man out offense, of course, the typical Brad Underwood defense where guys were playing hard, but this time they had gone back to what I would say was old-school Brad basketball, which was, first year at Illinois where they were pressing full court. And I think he tried some different things because of the team that he had. And early on, those things work, because teams haven't had an opportunity to scout you. They don't see you. They don't know you. You move on into the season. Now there's video, and guys can, people can go on and dissect you and be able to pull some things apart. But the thing that makes great coaches is not the great systems that they may have or this or that. It's being able to make adjustments and changes when necessary. So Illinois hit a skid. Some things went bad. You have these crazy people blaming it on Sky Clark and so forth and all of this madness, whereas certain systems and things that you do just don't fit your team. Once other programs get to sit down and look at you and dissect what it is. So what did Brad do? Brad did exactly what he did after year two going into year three. Okay, we need to make some adjustments. I'm talking about some adjustments all the way back to, if you've seen any of the recent four games that these guys have been winning, the coaches are back in suits. Mm-hmm. Brad has changed all of that. The offense is different. The defense has gone back to what he was doing over the last few years with Kofi being in there, where they are pressuring the basketball, but other guys are helping. I wouldn't necessarily call it I'm drawing the brain fart on the defense that Wisconsin's played, where everybody sits below the three-point line and then they try to force you into tough shots. I wouldn't necessarily go that far, because they are pressuring the basketball. Yes, they are helping in those help lanes, but they're not giving up three-point shots, nor are they giving up two-point shots. As Brad calls it, they make you take tough twos. So they're really defending guys, but they're just not extending that defense. They're making guys play in the half court. And then when you have a team that's averaging almost seven block shots a game, they're doing a great job protecting the paint. So I think that's where the adjustment came in, Larry, is when Brad realized, okay, this, what I was trying to do, doesn't work with this team. So let me back this up, go back to the drawing board, and begin to teach what he had started to do in year two. So he kind of went back to the newer Brad basketball and not the old school Brad basketball.
Right. And he's mentioned in press conferences, and anyone who has followed Brad Underwood, he's done this before. He reminded, the media, and I think it was at the Northwestern game, one of the tough games. He said, hey, look, we started 0-6 in the Big 12 in my 1 year at Oklahoma State. They rallied to go 9-9 in conference and went on to the NCAA. And he did this a couple of years ago in the COVID year. I think it was Kobe's Ohio sophomore year, where they were struggling. They made some changes. They made the big run.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that second year, I mean, they lost the most games in Illinois basketball history, 21 games.
Yeah.
And I think that may have equated into the largest turnaround in college basketball history. If not, it's very close because they turned around and ended up winning 25 games the next year. You know, I at the beginning of the year, I told everyone, and I held on to what I said, this might be the most talented team or skilled team, sorry, the most skilled team we've had since 89. But don't expect all of this to work in the beginning.
Right.
Brad's teams get better January, February, March, you know, and that's where this team, as you see now with the four wins in a row, that they've really begun to kind of turn things around. And I think the players are happier with what Brad has put into, you know, the system he's put in. I think they are, well, they look happier on the court. They're smiling and enjoying, but, you know, that happens when you're winning. But even when they have gone down big, as in the Michigan State game they have battled back, but they've always shown, you know, that dexterity to be able to fight back. But at this point, now you never look like you're out of any contention whatsoever. They look so calm and relaxed, and they're still playing. And, you know, and I think that's where the changes came in that has really elevated this team's the way they're playing.
Talking with Deion Thomas, all-time leading scorer of Illinois basketball, and also he's the color analyst on the Busey Network radio broadcast that we enjoy night in, night out, and does such a great job with Brian Barnhart and also Doug Altenberger, another Illini legend we enjoy talking to. You know, something else about this team that you mentioned, that strong second halves. It's one where we had seen this before. We had not seen it a few times in December where they're trying to figure some things out. And I think the freshmen as well coming in, and just being strong. You know, Sky Clark is no longer with the team, and we wish him well, and whatever his future, if he comes back or does not, we wish him well with that. But it seems now that Sincere Harris and Jaden Epps are comfortable sharing that the one spot and coming in, and one being very aggressive on defense, I think is going to be a very good offensive player. It's not there yet. Jaden Epps with a great offense off the bench. You can count on him, you know, night in, night out with 10 points. And I think making better decisions, he's a freshman, he's going to make mistakes, making better decisions, which again just makes that bench deeper. And then pretty soon you bring in sophomore Luke Goody, who's about to return here in the next several days. This begins to be fun.
Oh man, Al, you knocked it on the head, man. I mean, we're really starting to see what this Illinois team can be. One of the biggest changes, and one of the things that, you know, being a big, I was calling for this early. Dane Danger needs to be on the floor. Yeah. I mean, even if he's not doing the scoring, we all knew I'm not going to say we because the whole public didn't know about Dane Danger. But inside, we all knew Dane could score the basketball. I mean, I don't know if you remember his dad. I actually played with his dad at Simeon. You know, so his dad had the same skill level as what Dane has. He just wasn't as big. You know, he was a forward and played guard at 6'6", 6'7". But Dane is a bigger body, you know, but they both have the same feet, the footwork, the quickness, and all of those other things. So I was clamoring to have him in the middle. Why? Because it makes other teams have to defend him. Not just his ability to score, but his ability to pass, which, of course, opens up everything for everyone else. But you mentioned the freshman. You know, and Ty Rogers, to a lesser extent, doesn't get the notoriety because he doesn't play the minutes of Sincere Harris or Jay Ness. But his energy that he brings in day in and day out, and it really showed itself in that Minnesota contest where he was defending Garcia. Then he turned around, he'd be defending the point guard. He's rebounding the basketball. He played less minutes than just about anyone, had just as many rebounds and eight, you know, totaling on that night. But his energy and effort, and you couple that along with the defensive effort and length of Sincere Harris, oh, man, on the defensive side, they're shutting down just about everybody, or at least giving them a really hard night. And I, you know, Sincere is one of my favorite players. Jaden Epps, as I told him when we were walking through the hotel in Minneapolis, I love that kid, and I love him because you're going to get, you know, freshman mistakes. We're almost halfway through the season, so they're not really freshmen anymore because you have to learn on the fly, especially in the Big Ten. But his poise is unlike, you know, any freshman that I've seen in a very long time. And his ability to be able to put the ball in the basket. I remember Chester Frazier when we signed him. I called Chester. I'm like, Chester, tell me about him. He's like, Deion, he's a walking bucket. I'm like, okay. he's a walking bucket getter. He was like, and he's tough as nails. I was like, I kind of figured that because you recruited them. And we all remember how Chester was as a player. You know, you recruit like personalities. You know, you're not going to go out there and recruit some soft guy if you were a bulldog.
Yeah.
So I knew this kid, you know, I just didn't. You question the poise of freshmen when they come in. Our freshman class, and I'm going to include Sky Clark in that, which, as you mentioned earlier, I hope he comes back. I hope he is okay, and I hope his family is okay. But to be quite honest, man, these guys have hit the ground running, and now they're in a full sprint, which, you know, kind of puts him behind the eight ball a little bit if he decides or if they figure out what's best for them and he comes back. Because you mentioned, now Luke Goody's coming in. Luke is going to be a stabilizer. Luke is going to be the best shooter on the court. You're always going to find space for the shooter and a kid that is a natural leader on the court. Then he's back in his element. So this is the ceiling is very high for this Illinois team, and they're trending in the right direction at the right time.
And I did not know, I didn't realize that Dane Danger's dad played with you at Simeon. I didn't realize the connection.
Really. Yeah, he did. So he was originally a Chicago kid, but when Dane graduated, went out to San Diego State, which is where he played ball at. And then, of course, he played for the Timberwolves for a short time. And then they ended up settling in Minnesota. But, oh, yeah, so Dane, well, his dad's name is Baba. He changed his name from Dana. Dana Jackson was heck of a player at Simeon, and he transferred in a couple years older than me. So, you know, I was one of the younger guys with him, but yeah, Dana had skills, man.
Wow.
And his son, he's passed those right along to Dane.
Yeah. Well, I think you're right that it changed the dynamic that I know, you know, that, yeah, you don't have the five interchangeable guys that Brad had wanted to try to go with at the beginning of the season, but I think you're right. That's a change. And here's a difference. And again, you know, we love Kofi and what he brought to the program and we miss him. But the difference, and I know you see this, he'll face the basket, and he's got great footwork. And that's a thing that he's not hitting a jumper yet, but he's got the footwork. I think of the devastating move against the freshman against Michigan State, where he took two steps before the kid moved. And
yeah,
he's got great feel around the basket. You know, he blocks shots. Meyer will block it from behind. Shannon from behind. Rogers from behind. So the defense has picked up, and I think again he's a big part of that, having that guy in the middle there. And if you look, he's barely playing 25 minutes, and yet he's making major impact on the game in those 25 minutes. I want to talk before I let you go here about NIL. I know you're involved in some new projects here in 2023, trying to get some money into the program. Tell me about what you're doing.
Well, it's actually changed. The NCAA has changed the rules. And I myself, I'm the Associate Director of Development for Illinois Athletics. So we went from not being able, as a department, not being able to be involved with assisting with NIL. When the state of Illinois changed their rules, then we were involved for a short time. And then the NCAA came back in and was like, no, we don't want athletic departments being involved in this. So now what most schools, well, with just about all of them, especially if they want to win, have gone and started using collectives, meaning people that are outside of the program. Like, and we have a couple of them. We have one, which is the Illini Guardians, which is a group of former Illinois athletes, so they're alum, that have taken their time to put together this collective called, like I said, Illini Guardians. And they've done a really good job of starting that model. And then now we have what's called Icons. So Icons, again, a third party company that was started to work with our athletes on retaining and bringing in dollars to be able to assist with that NIL piece. So we're fortunate, kind of like in Indiana, where they have Mark Cuban. So if we can get a Mark Cuban to come on board, a Mark Cuban type to come on board, then, you know, the sky's the limit for the program with these two collectives. doing their thing on the outside. It's become a big help for Illinois. And as you see, we got the lawyers, we got the law firm on the defensive line coming back, you know, the next year. And a lot of that work was due to what Kathleen Knight has done over with Icons, with her company Icons.
And I'm glad you explained that. I don't want to get you or anybody else in trouble because the rules are constantly changing. And to your point, they're different from state to state. I mean, it's and I know that's part of the challenge has been for everyone involved, including you with the athletic department. How do you approach it? What can you do? What can you not do? And that's one of the I know it's been one of the frustrations is, you know, the NCAA they'll make a statement. It's like, OK, that's great. But what can we do? You still have an answer.
Well, the thing is, the NCAA should have, you know, should have been the first ones to step in the game and put out some guidelines. But, you know, the NCAA is the NCAA. So really, as a development officer, when I'm out and I'm speaking with, you know, a potential donor or even a donor about, you know, our three pillars, which is scholarships, the student athlete experience, or, of course, brick and mortar. Putting up buildings and things of that nature. And then our diversity, equity, and inclusion plan that's a part of our four pillars of what we're doing at the University of Illinois. If one of them says, hey, you know what? What about NIL? The brakes go on and then we have to, brakes go on. I can't talk to you about that. But here's the two companies that you can get on. You can talk to the Illini Guardians about this, or you contact Kathleen Knight over at Icon, and you guys handle that. So we are, as a department, as fundraisers, really hands off. We can just point people, say, hey, this is who you need to speak with. This is who you need to speak with. And then we step back and we stay away from that. We got the directive early from the top down. Yeah. So we are no longer in that business, so we avoid it at all costs.
Right, right. And I know that you know, we've talked to Josh before. He's done such a great job with this and just really ahead of the game. Quick question before I let you go. Kevin Warren making the decision to leave the Big Ten, go to the Chicago Bears. I think it's a great move for the Bears, for the city of Chicago, for Kevin Warren, and to bring to the table all that he does and the legacy he leaves behind. He has those his critics in terms of COVID, which that's another conversation because it was also in an era before we had a vaccine and there are a lot of other issues there. But in terms of the $1 billion TV deal, whoever comes into that space really is walking in, you know, playing with house money because things are already laid out. But how do you see quickly things changing in regards to the Big Ten and how things operate as you make this change to a new commissioner?
Well, as you know, I'm a huge Bear fan. So let's address that one first. A lot of the things that you heard in the past, oh, well, the Bears are racist. Their upper management is racist, this and this and this and this. Well, they're never going to draft a black quarterback. We have a black quarterback. We have a black general manager. And now we have a black man at the head of that organization. I think that, first of all, it gets all of that racist crap out of the way that you heard people say about my team. Second part of that, Kevin Warren did a great job. There's always chaos at the beginning. Now, did he make every right decision? No one makes every right decision when you have a ton of bricks dropped on your head, which is what COVID was, you know, which is what COVID was, which was now you got all of the players want to do, you know, be a union and all these other crazy things that had taken place, you know, at the beginning of his tenure. But as you mentioned, we came out clean on the other side, the Big Ten Conference, that is. Now we put together this huge television deal, which is the biggest in college sports right now. And we have brought in UCLA, USC into the fold, you know, where we're ahead of all of the expansion talks and things that are going on. And he has a large part to do with that. I mean, of course, the athletic directors and the presidents as well, as a collective, they all had a hand in making these things possible. So you're right. The next commissioner that walks in kind of has the roadmap in front of him and really has to pick that up. And now how do you have to elevate that? you know what I'm saying? So I don't think he gets the credit for the things that he has done. But the next guy coming in has to continue to work with this landscape of constant changing landscape And who knows what, you know, college football is going to look like in the next few years. I mean, you may have two or three super conferences. You NIL may end up changing, and you may be paying scout, you know, student athletes may be employees of the university. There's a lot of things that that next commissioner is going to have to work with. I wish him the best. And I just say, come in ready to fire, ready to work with the people that you have to work with, because with the Big Ten wants to be at the head, at the forefront of all these changes. You don't want to be the one that's tagging along.
And I think that has certainly been the case, that we, to your point, we don't know how the landscape is going to change over the next 5 or 6 years. I still think that we're going to have two or three super conferences come 2030. Once we get the contract, we'll see what happens. But to your point, we don't know. And you know, there's still some possible expansion maybe down the road if they can get the dollars right. But hey,
you know, dollars make sense, man.
Yeah. I mean, hey, come down to the money.
Exactly.
Everything.
Dollars make sense.
Yeah. Dion, we will let you know there. We always appreciate your time, and again, enjoy your talents on the Busey Network. I don't see you much on Big Ten Network now. Do you no longer do that?
Well, when the new president came in. When Mark left Big Ten to go take over Fox, there was a new president brought in, and that same year I took a job in athletics.
Okay.
When I worked in government relations, there was, which is what I was doing before athletics, there was no conflict. So the new president thought that there may be a conflict, so I was kind of moved to the reserve role, and after that, I was just like, okay, I'm in a reserve role, and I'm not getting any spots, because, you know, the first people you call are those that you have on your roster.
Right.
You know, and if they can't make it, then you call in the reserve.
Right.
So I was like, you know what, I'll concentrate on radio, I'll let Steve Bardo and all those other guys,
right.
You know, make their way that way.
Right, and we love having the former Illini, Steve Bardo, Trent Meacham, getting some time up there in the studio. We do miss you in studio.
Oh, yeah.
I know that you and I would communicate over the years and always enjoyed your work there. Hey, Dion, thanks for your time and your insights, and let's have fun the rest of these for these next several weeks.
Yeah, so we're getting ready to go tomorrow. Got Indiana coming into the House of Pain, so now we got to come out of there with a win, man. Keep this streak rolling. I appreciate you, Larry. Thanks always, brother.
Okay, appreciate it, my friend. Take care. Dion Thomas here. Right. And again, you can hear him with Brian Barnhart on the Illini radio broadcast along the Busey Illini Network. This segment sponsored by OSF Healthcare. Listen to the Sports Spectacular all along the Illini Guys radio network.
Well, we hope you enjoyed that. This is Mike again. Dion, one of the greats, and probably the best scorer of all time, would have been very interesting to see what had happened if Bruce Pearl hadn't happened to the Illini. You put more players around Dion, and he probably has a ring. Now, next up is Marcus Griffin. Marcus is one of the most gregarious ex-Illini that you can ever find. And for those people who were at our Illini guys' function the night before the first football game, it was a great evening, as you could see Kenny Battle and Marcus debating the 01 team versus the 1989 team as to who would win. And then later on, it was Marcus Griffin talking about the merits of the 01 team versus D. Brown talking about, of course, the 05 team that was so great as well. What a great amount of debates. And of course, that is an Illini Guys subscribers exclusive event that we had prior to the opening night of football season. And we will be doing something similar next year as well. So Marcus is a fantastic guest, and I think you'll find this interview very engaging.
Hey, don't forget, we are just weeks away from March Madness, and that means the third annual Illini Guys Bracket Challenge. $1,000 in cash prizes up for grabs. It's free to enter, but you have to be an Illini Guys member to take part. So go to IlliniGuys.com and register today. First 7 days are free, insider info, so much more, and maybe some cash in your pocket. along with your membership. It's all at IlliniGuys.com. Be sure to check that out. This segment presented by Busey Bank, building business, growing wealth since 1868. There have been only two Illini teams reach the NCAA regional finals in the past 30 years. And our next guest played a key role in one of them. The Pride of Peoria big man Marcus Griffin is here with us now. Marcus, welcome to the Sports Spectacular.
And thanks for having me on. I feel it's an honor. It definitely is.
Well, it's reciprocated. Believe us. It's great to good to talk with you. We see you at games and different events, and you're at the Illini Guys, the event we had back in August, and we said then we got to have you on the show. And we were talking, we've had so much stuff happening with a ranked football team and ranked women's team that it's been longer than we planned, but we're glad we having the show right now. So much to talk about. And recently talking about the grind of the college basketball season, and we're even still in January. What do you remember about this time of year as a student athlete? The spring semester has started, two games a week. You've got practice and travel and homework. What do you recall? What is that like for a student athlete trying to excel at everything you have on your plate?
It is definitely a challenge because you just want to get to sports, but you just can't. You're a student athlete. Let's be honest. You definitely have to take care of the academics. And when I was in school, we had Tom Michaels was part of the academic part of the basketball. Very good, Illini great in his time when he was there. And so he made sure during this time when we wasn't in school that we were studying, we were still getting to our studies, and we didn't fall off of that. So when we started that second semester academically, we were still ready to go. And when we was playing, it was different. Big Ten didn't start until after the new year. Mm. And now they play Big Ten games in December now. And so we knew coming out of start of second semester, we was all Big Ten games was the rest of the year until you got to the Big Ten tournament.
Marcus, you had obviously had a great run at Illinois. What do you look at this team comparatively teams in the past? What's kind of been they've been very, very good at times, very bad at times, to be honest. So yeah. What's kind of your thoughts on the team so far this year?
Just this is what happens when you're in the Big Ten and you are a young team. Like as much success as we noticed this team can go, they are still a very young ball club. And not a lot of young ball clubs get a lot of success out of the gate in the Big Ten. So it literally takes 14, 15 conference games for those freshmen to start playing like sophomores, sophomores start playing like juniors, juniors starts playing like seniors. It's just a long process. Like we was talking before, it's just a process. And these guys got to continue to buy in. They're sharing the ball a little bit more. And then eventually you're going to be like, all that struggling was to get us to this point, and now we're ready to go make some noise in the Big Ten tournament. And then hopefully win a couple of games in the NCAA.
So, Marcus, everybody can get up for the big games, Michigan State, Indiana. How did you guys get yourselves ready to play when a team like Penn State came to town? They obviously upset Illinois this year. How did you get yourself up for the teams that maybe weren't supposed to be highly ranked, yet in the Big Ten, you have to watch out for everybody?
It's to be honest, it's very, our mindset was totally different. Like we would talk to the guys. We was like, we would want the guys on our team who didn't get a lot of playing time. We would want them to play. So with us, it was going out at the beginning of the game and giving it our all. Like, I hate to say this, but when teams weren't supposed to be on the floor with us, we showed that they was not supposed to be on the floor with us. Like we had some of our close games here or there, but for the most part, we held it down in the Big Ten and we went out there and we played. So when we had a team that we were supposed to dominate, we went out and dominated. Like back when we was playing with a Northwestern coming to town, you don't want to give a Northwestern any hope. So you want to jump on their throat at the beginning of the game. Not to disrespect Northwestern or anything, but that's just what our mindset was when we was playing.
Well, Northwestern wasn't quite as good back then as they are.
Yeah.
They're playing a lot better now for sure.
Oh, yes. They're a very different ball club now.
Yeah. We always got to have this debate, and I got to get the eras team. I mean, we got 04, 05, we got 88, 89, we got 2000, 2001. I mean, who's winning, Marcus?
So that's as you recall in August when we was all there, how heated of a conversation that got with BD and a couple of other guys. All I can say is that we was we was a big team. We was a very big team. We wasn't the most athletic bunch, but our defense and our rebounding could destroy a lot of teams. And the Fighting Illini was very athletic. Don't get me wrong. They was an athletic ball club, but they wasn't big. The 04-05 squad, they shot a lot of threes. They was not big. And in the Big Ten, it's been all about for years, give or take a couple of caveat teams. You throw that ball off the backboard, man, the toughest is going to survive. And I will take our team in that type of, in a Big Ten environment. Now, the 04 team, if we're playing ACC rules, Pac-12 rules, you get to get up and down the court, shoot a bunch of threes or whatnot. Can't touch them. We go to the foul line. They're going to shoot us. We're going to be in foul trouble. But in the Big Ten, we will hold our own against a lot of teams in the past. And I'm always going to pick the 01 squad. We were too physical.
So you know, you guarded some big guys, probably not anybody as big as Kofi, but how would you have handled going in the lane against the 7 foot, 285 pound behemoth?
Well, on size wise, Zach Randolph was a big boy, and he was a left-hander, and I had Zach, I think, his freshman year. Mm-hmm. But that defense is not difficult. When you got a guy like Kofi, it's the early contact is the key. If you let Kofi get his body up against you, he is going to destroy you. He is too big. And so since I could get up and down the court, I had to beat him on the other side. I had to get down when I was playing defense first, because if I let him beat me, he gets to establish position first, he's going to destroy me. So I got to get down, even if I can make him post up 2 feet off the block to give our guards a couple of extra opportunities to dig in the post. That'll make it a little bit. And then just don't let him go over his right shoulder, over his left shoulder, because you know he wanted to come back for that jump hook every time off the glass. So I would just be strong and be tall, make him dribble the ball about 4 or 5 times, and then make him shoot over length.
That's a great point. Hey, something you brought up that I wanted, as we're talking to Marcus Griffin here, the great from the teams back in the 1 year for Kruger, 1 year
for Self.
Yep. Correct. Okay. That's what I thought. Okay. Well, I want to ask you this. Here's a scary, sobering moment for all of us, and we're older than you, Marcus, but the Big Ten has not won the national title since your last year in college basketball. 2000, yep. Right? I mean, 23 years. How different is it really difficult to play in the Big Ten with the way those refs call the game and then step into the NCAA tournament in March where it's called totally different?
Yes. So if I hate to say anything about how we lost my senior year against Arizona, but everybody who's seen us play and everything, you saw how we never had that many fouls called in a game against us ever in my time at Illinois. And so, but again, we have to adjust. Not going to get Big Ten refs. And that was the one thing I felt like we didn't do my senior year, because I would still say we was the best team in college basketball that year. When we got to the tournament, like in the Final Four, we beat 3 of the 4 teams in the Final Four that year. Only one that we didn't beat was Duke. And they beat us by, I think, 79-77 in Greensboro that year.
Yeah.
But you definitely, as a Big Ten team, you have to be able to adjust with the officiating. You got to do it on the fly.
I got to ask a follow-up question, because I covered 3 of those games of Arizona's run that year in 01, right? So Michigan State was the year before, your junior year. In 01, I felt the referees favored Arizona because Bobby Olsen, the sweet wife of Lute Olsen, had died during the season. And I felt the games were called for them a certain way until them at Duke in the title game, and then they were called differently, and it went from there. Now, be objective, but did you sense that with all those foul calls? To this day, most fouls whistled on a team ever in an NCAA tournament game, and most free throws. They shot more free throws than field goals in that game.
Yeah. You said it, not me. Okay. So as I go back and watch that game, I just look at myself in the mic. I just look at how I played. And so I'm like, referees was calling. They was letting some of those things go during the season, but you get in the game and then the referees literally get you real. And I'm like, okay, But it's kind of hard because you're an 18, 19-year-old kid, and mentally you like, referees trying to take you out of a game, but we didn't adjust well. But yeah, those was your words.
I said it's my words. Okay. Yeah. Brad, go ahead.
Well, I'm going to agree. I mean, I thought that was one of the one of those games. I thought, you know, when Illini fans look back, there's that game. And then I think it was D's senior year when they played Washington and everything was a foul. And Brandon Roy's team, I think that was the other one that I kind of look back. And of course, the Kentucky game in 84. But, you know, so Marcus, I got to ask you, as you kind of look at where are you at now, and you're in Peoria still, and talk a little about where you're at, what you're doing now.
Yes, so I'm in Peoria. I work for Frito-Lay. PepsiCo is the big company. And then I work for the snack side on Frito-Lay. I'm a district manager here out of the Peoria area. I manage a group of guys that go out and we try to attack the marketplace, make sure that we got a bunch of Doritos and Cheetos out there for every kid in the world to have. It's a fun job.
It's really for Mike. Let's be honest.
Yeah, I'm actually trying to like think here, you know, like what products can we get hooked up with here?
Hey, man. Hey, we can talk about some things off the air.
Awesome. Well, I can talk about food off the air or
that's
on.
That's right.
It.
That's right. Listen, we can't get Mike going. We got a commercial break to get to. But Marcus, man, so good to see you again and talk with you on the air. We appreciate you coming on, and hopefully you'll join us again soon.
Yes, whenever you guys have it. It's good. You should get me and Kendall, maybe D, get some guys on here. You could really hear some battle stories.
Oh, we plan to. We know it's not the last time we have you on. We're just going to turn you and D and Kitty Battle loose.
Yeah.
And we'll just walk away and go get some chips, and we'll come back when it's all done.
All right. I was just with Kenny last night.
Okay. Yep,
we was at the game.
He's our man. Kenny's been on the show before. Marcus, thanks so much, man. We'll talk to you soon. Yeah.
Y'all have a good one.
All right, appreciate it. Marcus Griffin here on this segment presented by Busey Bank, sponsor of Illini Athletics and of this show as well. Stay with us. All the answers to the universe are straight ahead when we ask your Brad. That's next.
You're tuned in to the Sports Spectacular on the Illini Guys Radio Network.
Well, that's what we've got for today's show. I do appreciate everybody listening in. And again, if you enjoyed those interviews, that's really what the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular is all about. We try to have a good time. We talk Illinois sports and the big sports that are happening so that it's stuff that you're interested in, not just the regurgitation of the Yankees and the Red Sox, you know, for the millionth time on ESPN, or the endless "What does LeBron think" on Fox Sports. We try to make it fun, and we try to make it relevant to Illini fans. We're not going to be ripping on players. We assume that if they knew they were going to miss the three-pointer, they wouldn't have shot it in the first place. But if you want to have a good time, get some information on Illini sports and laugh a little bit, that's what the Sports Spectacular is all about. And, of course, IlliniGuys.com still priced at $99 a year, and that is not gone up, even though all the inflation, et cetera. We would love to have you join. Again, you get the 7 days to preview it, and then at the end of the seventh day, you get charged. So we ask people to come in, kick the tires, and make sure you go back into either it's the message boards or the forums. Go back there and make sure you jump in and read the latest stuff of what's going on behind the scenes of the football and basketball program. There are things that we hear about that we can't put out there as a news story because there's no sources that will back it. But sometimes the rumors end up being much more factual. And many times the IlliniGuys.com subscribers know about things well before they happen. And we would love to have more people subscribing. So with that, we're going to wrap up this episode of Eye on the Illini. Go Illini!
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Wake up to a delicious morning with your favorite McDonald's breakfast sandwiches, now just $2, only in the app. Choose from a bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit, sausage McMuffin, or bacon, egg, and cheese McGriddles, just $2, only in the app. That's a deal as irresistible as the sandwiches themselves. Plus, you'll save time by ordering ahead in the app. Offer valid one time per day from July 29th through September 1st at participating McDonald's. Must opt in to rewards.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
When raising a Pacifico beer with friends you just met turns into hitting up their friend's local art show, getting inspired to create something together, and painting your first mural, you found what was waiting for you. Pacifico. Life's waiting. 21 plus only. Discover responsibly. Pacifico Clara Beer. Imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Wouldn't it be nice if we were always in control of the when and where in our lives?
Yeah, yes, I'll get you those figures today.
Mom, check it out. I learned a new song.
When and where you choose to do something can make all the difference. At University of Phoenix, we make it easy to balance work, family, and school. Plus, with online classes 24/7, you get the freedom to learn when and where you want. Start your degree in tech, healthcare, or business today at phoenix.edu.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.